And so this morning we are continuing in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6, picking up with verse 19. And we will hear what Jesus says about storing up treasures and the proper place for storing up treasures and the proper things that we receive for storing up treasures. And as it's important to remember, as I say each week, that this is part of an ongoing message from Jesus, an ongoing, very consistent message. And prior to this, Jesus talked about the giving and the praying and the fasting, and that we should do those things with our eyes focused on God, not doing those hoping that other people's eyes would be focused on us. Right? And so now, Jesus is going to be teaching us, as he taught them, how to keep our eyes properly focused. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And many of your versions may end that with saying, "You cannot serve both God and mammon." Heavenly Father, as we move into your word this morning, as we often do, Father, we lift up those around the world who do not have access to Bibles, to your word in written form. And we know many are hungering for it. And we know others yet have never heard about it at all. And so, Lord, we also lift up those who take your word into those places. We pray for safety and we pray for success. And we pray for your kingdom to be expanded. And Lord, may we always have our ear inclined to you and how we should help deliver your word to others. And this morning we also ask for your Holy Spirit to be here and to teach us as we read these words of Jesus, that we would be taught by your Holy Spirit, learning what you would have us learn of the many depths and facets of this passage, Lord, that each of us would walk from here knowing something that you want us to know, changing in some way that you want us to change, becoming more who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we have here these three sections of things in this one passage about storing up treasures, about the eye being the lamp of the body, and about serving two masters. And these are all one consistent thread of a message. And again, these come on the heels of Jesus' teaching about hypocrisy, about us doing things with our eyes focused correctly and not trying to get people's attention focused on us. And this is all part of this great message called the Sermon on the Mount. So briefly, in each of these sections, we see the first that Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where they can get destroyed." And we understand moths eating. And the word that says rust destroying, that would actually be any kind of destruction. So when we hear rust, we think of metals, things that are metal that fall apart over age and weathering and that kind of thing. But the word this comes from would actually be even grain that would become moldy, or anything that would just fall apart through time and wear and erosion. What this does not say is not to store up stuff for good reasons. It's important to know what Jesus is not saying here. As Scripture encourages us to save for those rainy days, right? It talks in Proverbs about the ant. Even the ant knows how to put stuff away. Jesus is not saying, don't do that. He's also not saying, don't enjoy the blessings that God gives you. You have to note here that it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And this refers very much to what Jesus said earlier in this chapter about not doing your righteous acts before men to be seen by them. Jesus had said earlier that you should do acts of righteousness so people would see your acts of righteousness and then see who? To see your Father in heaven. And so he's not saying don't do good things. He's saying don't do good things for your own praise. And here he's saying don't accumulate things just so that you can say I've got a bunch of stuff. If you're storing, putting things aside in order to be protected as Joseph in Egypt, right? To be able to help when the time for help is needed, that there's nothing wrong with that. But just storing up for yourself so that you can look at others and say, I'm up here and you're down there. I've got this and you only have that. He's saying, don't do that because that stuff will fade away. At some point, that stuff will fade away. We all know the old saying, right? You can't take it with you. Right? And so Jesus is saying here, do not store up for yourselves because this stuff is all going to fade away. If you're going to invest in something for yourself, invest it in the kingdom. And then he says this thing about the eye being the lamp of the body, and we might wonder how that connects with what is before it. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. You've heard the saying, right, the evil eye, right? That person's giving me the evil eye. Well, in this date and time, that phrase, the evil eye, meant someone who was looking out for themselves. Someone who was selfish. Someone who was looking to do whatever they could do. If they were looking at you that way, was what can I get from you for me? That is an evil eye. And so in contrast, a good eye would be an eye that would be looking with generosity, with care and compassion. So Jesus is saying if your eyes are like that, then you're going to be full of light. And the light is Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and He was the light, and that light was the light of men. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and, I would say, anything else. You cannot serve God and serve anything else. This is Exodus 20, right? This is the first of the Ten Commandments. This is the great command. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all. And like I jokingly like to say, when you go into the ancient text in the original language, the word all means all. So when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, there's no heart, soul, mind, and strength to love anything else. The things you should properly love, you would love through that love that you have for God. And it would increase your ability to love properly in other contexts. But you don't have any room, if you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to chase after something you should not chase after. You can't straddle the fence. You can't truly love God and love anything else. And this idea of having the good eye, having the light, is to enable you to see that which you should be chasing after, that what you should be focused on. Right? We know this here. We've got some people in here that have probably coached a little bit. When you teach a kid to throw a ball, what do you tell him to look at? Where you want the ball to go, right? You look at the target. In 2009, I thought this was really interesting. The Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology decided that without a marker, people will naturally walk in circles. I've heard of this before, that you put somebody out at the North Pole in the snow without anything to look at, they'll walk in a circle. People lost in the desert will walk in circles, often not knowing it until they've come back and crossed their own path. Their conclusion was that we are wired to walk in circles without a marker. I think they're close, but I think you need to look at the other side of the coin. I think we are wired to look for the marker. We're wired to look for the marker to keep us from walking in circles. We're wired to look for Jesus. We're wired to look for Him to keep us from walking in circles. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In order to see, we have to let Jesus in. I'm going to go back to the beginning. Understanding the poverty of our spirit without Him. Mourning at our state in the world separated from Him. Being meek before Him to let Him be in control. Hungering and thirsting for His righteousness and being filled. When we turn ourselves over to Him, when we empty ourselves to all but Him, and we seek Him, and He fills us with light, then we have our eye on the target. Then we know what direction we're supposed to follow. Anything else in the way, looking at anything else, is being distracted from God, and we'll lose our way. We'll walk in circles. We have to open ourselves to the light of Christ, and then that enables us to see the direction in which we're supposed to travel. Jesus, you can go back several days before the in Gospel of Luke, before the crucifixion, before Palm Sunday, He begins His trek toward what He knows is His eventual meeting, right? He knows where He's going. He knows what His mission is. But it says that He sets His face toward Jerusalem. And He begins this travel. Many things happen along that way. Many things happen. He's betrayed and He's beaten. Before that, there's crowds shouting His name and begging for Him to be king. But He has His face set physically toward Jerusalem, but literally and spiritually has His face set on us. He has His face set on His Father's will. And none of that causes Him to go left or right. He does not walk in a circle. He walks directly where He's supposed to go. He has His face set toward the goal. And we hear this all through Scripture. Paul talks about pressing on toward the goal. And we read about not being blown about like a reed in the wind. But again, this is a bar set high for us by Jesus. But He does not leave us without the way and the means to achieve what He's calling us to do. We don't have to figure out the way to go. We just have to figure out who to follow. We just have to let the Holy Spirit of God in, and He will direct us. And sometimes we do step aside. But when we forget, and then we remember, He corrects us and puts us back on course. If we continue to let the light of Christ be in us. Jesus sets the bar high, but he doesn't say you've got to now go off somewhere and perfect yourselves and then come back and see if you've achieved this. As he did with the initial disciples, he does with us. He takes them, he trains them, he teaches them, and then he sends them the Holy Spirit. And this is why discipleship is so important to us as a church. We want people to be trained to understand that there is a way to do what God's calling you to do. There is a way to see what God's calling you to do. It's not a mystery. There are parts of God's will that is mystery. There's parts of God's will that we can't completely understand. But the part to which he's calling us, he doesn't hide from us. How cruel would that be to expect you to achieve something and not tell you what it even is? But God does not do that. He shows us where to go. He shows us the way to go. He enables us to go. He defends us. He defends, right, against attacks that would try to get us to go another direction. When Jesus was getting ready to leave, right, and he was telling the 12 that he was going, he said, you know where I'm going and you know the way. And Thomas, right, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And what is Jesus' response? I am the way. So to get that way, to get Jesus, is to focus and set our eyes upon him. To let the light in. To have good eyes and have our whole body be full of light. Then we can see the proper use of accumulation, the proper use of wealth, the proper use of the things that are given us, how we're supposed to spend and how we're supposed to save. We can see because it won't be us deciding. It will be the Holy Spirit educating us and helping us choose. If not, then we spin our wheels trying to save and save and keep and accumulate for what end? For what end? For what? We all end up with the same destination. There'll be a time when we all will be laid in the grave. And then, what is the purpose of the stuff that we've accumulated? Jesus says, I will show you what to do with what you have. I'll show you how to get rid of the things you should get rid of and how to handle the stuff that you keep. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is a cost. You know, sometimes we want stuff that we shouldn't have, but there is a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. But anything we give up is not nearly as precious as that which we will receive. So, are we wired then, if we don't have something to look at, to just wander in circles? I don't think that's how we're wired. I think we don't want to wander in circles. I think we want something to see. If I'm lost in the desert, this is why I would disagree with the study. If I'm lost in the desert, what I want is just to see something. Something. I want to see a goal. I want to see a tree, an oasis, a building, right? If you're lost, you want to see something. If you're lost in the woods, you want to see a road. You want to see something. You want a direction in which to go. You don't want to wander. We don't want to wander aimlessly. We don't want to be lost. So I don't think we're wired to walk in circles. We're wired to look for the marker. We're wired to look for the guidepost. We're wired to look for Jesus. Another study a few years ago said, well, There's really no such thing as God. It's just that people have inside them, they've developed a wiring to want something greater than themselves. And I'm like, yes, of course we are. And who do you think did the wiring? Of course, we're wired to seek something greater than ourselves because we were created by the one who did our wiring. And he has wired us to look for him. And when we keep our eyes focused on him, the path is straight. Can't you just see this all through Scripture? Thy word is what? It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Making the path straight. Following Jesus. Feels sometimes like we're walking in circles. It does. Look up. Feel like you're walking in circles. Look up. Amen.